It's so amazing because we really have gotten way off base in terms of understanding who we are as human beings. And even the most exalted ways of talking about who we are as human beings, like enlightenment, awakening, liberation, awareness, these terms have completely lost their original meaning to the degree that people do not know what they mean at all. And many people are wandering around saying, oh, I'm enlightened, I'm awake, I'm liberated, I've realized awareness, when that is very, very far from the case. And always synonymous with the realization of who we are is the power of incredible benefit, the power to be of incredible benefit. And wherever there actually is the realization of awareness, it is the realization of benefit. Awareness is not a thing that is realized in some kind of personal way that's cut off from other people. It's all pervasively beneficial by its very nature. And when that realization is obvious in someone, everything flows from that in a natural way. So even if they might do something that seems crazy or off, it's clear that it's beneficial. It's clear to everyone involved that it's beneficial. There isn't any question. And today, there are just so many mistaken notions about who we are or how to access that or maintain it on a daily basis. So, of course, that's what the Great Freedom Teaching is about, not only the introduction, but how to maintain that on a daily basis, and very specific key points and pivotal instructions on how to be at comfort and ease in all moments of everyday life. And that means that even when there are very disturbing states that come about, like grief or anger or total despair or physical illness or whatever, that comfort and ease is found in those states by leaving them unrejected. It's only in rejecting them that could you just... You've got your Kleenex, okay. When we've pushed things away, then that is what causes pain. When we're avoiding what's going on, that what causes pain. In the disturbing emotion itself, arising from that disturbing state is bliss when it's left unrejected. When we just completely rest and relax, leaving what appears unrejected without indulging it, just leaving it as it is to go its merry way, which it definitely will. It'll disappear naturally, free in its own place, like the flight path of a bird in the sky or a line drawn in water. When we leave it as it is, unrejected, then from it appears bliss. From it appears its self-sustaining benefit. So the benefit is in the disturbing state. It's not in splitting off from that state. It's in just leaving the state as it is, with nothing to be done about it, with nothing to change.
How does one know if they're indulging it? I mean, where is the perception of indulging?
Well,
telling a story about it, latching on to it.
Getting so involved in the story about it that there's no clear presence of comforting awareness in the perception itself. So you see, there could be grief and totally getting lost in it with a story about that, and the story would just lead to more suffering. And then there could be resting as awareness, leaving the grief unrejected, but with no need to go into the story. By maintaining awareness without going into the story, then it becomes more and more obvious in all perceptions that awareness isn't separate from the perception. So the same grief would be had, but there would be the presence of awareness, blazingly obvious, the comfort and ease of that in the grief itself. And so you see, this is the difference of splitting off into a state of so-called awareness and being present as the spontaneous naturalness of awareness in the state, whatever it is. And that's all that ever is. There isn't anyone experiencing these things. There's only awareness with all of its own spontaneous self-appearances, or awareness with all of its own spontaneous self-sounds. And all of the appearances of awareness are like a mirage. Just like a mirage doesn't have a beginning, middle, and an end. It's not really a place, or it isn't a thing. If we walked into a mirage, there'd be nothing there. So too, all the appearances of awareness are mirage-like by nature. And all the sounds of awareness are the self-sounds of it. They're like an echo in a canyon. An echo, there really isn't anything there. Or when I speak these words, there's nothing to attach to. And so no matter what appears, there's nothing there. You know, all the descriptions in the world, every single word in the dictionary is like grabbing onto this. There's nothing there. So if there's the feeling of a story about it, there's nothing there in the story. Or if the story is to push it away, there's nothing in that story either. It's just like if I draw the word grief in space, there's nothing there. And so by maintaining awareness in the presence of that, it becomes clear that this self-appearance of awareness doesn't have an independent nature. It's not a thing in itself. It's not something that can have power over anyone, and there's no one for it to have power over. There's only awareness in all of its own perceptions. And in that sense, all of the points of view that appear within awareness, all of the perceptions, are absolutely equal. It's a single expanse. I can write the word grief in space, and I can write the word joy in space. And how are they different? They're not different at all. The non-different expanse of equalness is just simple and easy as it is. And when our awareness is always lost in stories, then it's just because we've trained our awareness to be like that. We have free choice with awareness. We can use awareness any way we want. That's the way it is in a human being. A human being can make anything they want out of awareness, and we're the only being that can do this. If we want to make all kinds of ideas out of awareness and say, oh yeah, this is true, I am somebody, and I've got all my points of view and opinions, and they're the right ones, we can do that. This is the amazing juncture of a human being and their awareness.
Isn't it this story that triggers either the joy or the grief, or is that, I mean, what?
No.
It's not.
No, awareness is the sole cause and the sole effect. There are no causal relationships between any points of view. When all points of view are equal, how could there be a causal relationship? Cause and effect is based upon thinking about things and making up a story about how everything works. But in naked awareness itself, there aren't any stories because everything's equal. And the only way to realize that is not by thinking about it, but by maintaining awareness. And the more Awareness is maintained by resting as awareness for short moments repeated many times. The more it just becomes automatic and continuous.
But these stories seem to arise without any will or choice. They just seem to, thoughts just occur.
They do. And you will never be able to stop that because there's no one to stop it. All these are just spontaneous appearances of awareness. In awareness, and they are ceaseless, they're countless, and they're unpredictable. You never know what they'll be, right?
No, and a certain thought will trigger joy, and a certain thought will trigger grief. So, where's the choice?
Well, the thought appears in awareness, and then another thought of joy appears. But where are they related to each other? Their seamlessness is only in awareness. The thought isn't making joy come about. It's just the story that says the thought is making joy come about. The thought and the joy, one is a thought, one is an emotion, both are points of view and awareness. Both are points of view of ever-present, naked, forever flawless, stainless awareness. If you want real joy, it's in awareness. It's not in trying to figure out how this thought is related to this emotion. This is the way to really understand yourself.
I'm not sure if I had not lost Scott, would I be experiencing grief?
All points of view that appear in awareness are entirely circumstantial. So awareness is like a mirror or a crystal ball. Got to get my crystal ball. So. In a mirror or a crystal ball, it reflects whatever it's exposed to, but it's never separate from the mirror or the crystal ball. A crystal ball and a mirror, they reflect everything equally. And so when the appearances in a mirror or a crystal ball are focused on, then the crystal ball itself or the mirror as a reflective surface are completely forgotten about. But you see, awareness is just like a crystal ball or a mirror. It circumstantially reflects everything that it's exposed to, but like a mirror or a crystal ball, it's unaltered by appearances. By gaining confidence in awareness rather than in the appearances, the reflection in the mirror, the crystal ball, then it's clear that these appearances, they just are whatever they are. They disappear on their own. And so, you know, whatever's going on in our life, then awareness is reflecting that. That's the nature of what it means to be human. Could you get the stand for me?
Yeah.
Thank you. And thanks, Neil, so far. Little by little, gain confidence in awareness. Little by little. For most people, progress is made gradually. These ideas about the big blowout awakening are a bunch of BS, and we all know it. For the greatest beings who have ever lived, progress has been made gradually. And so, you know, even if someone has a huge awakening, believe me, there's going to be an ever-increasing display of benefit and well-being in that person. Awareness is not a destination. It's the spontaneous self-release of the here and now, and that's it. And by gaining confidence in awareness, by resting for short moments many times, you come to see this in your own experience. It's not just a bunch of words someone saying in a talk. In your own experience, you see the grief appearing in awareness, the joy appearing in and as awareness, the memory of your beloved appearing in and as awareness. This is a true account of what's really happening. And you know what I'm saying is true, furthermore, because you know the difference between the stories and what they bring you and resting as awareness. That's who Goomba really is. You see this idea of identity, when we identify ourselves with stories, then we think that's what we are. We think that we're comprised of those stories. And we've just trained ourselves to do that. So it's very simple, demystified, totally direct, completely straightforward. We've trained ourselves to do that. When we train ourselves to identify with awareness, then that becomes more obvious. When we train ourselves to identify with the stories, they become more obvious. We're simple people. We're animals, you know. Just like all other animals, we do the same things. We procreate, we feed, we reflect our circumstances in awareness. Now, with other animals, they don't even know they're an animal. You know, they don't have to call themselves anything. They don't say, oh yeah, I'm a dog. Do you still have your dog? Your dog's never saying, oh yeah, I'm a dog. I'm Goomba's dog. You know, oh, I'm lucky to be Goomba's dog. Where's Scott? What happened to him? You know? Or, you know, am I still going to be able to eat now that Scott's not around anymore? Or are we going to live in the same place? Or, you know, so other animals are just spontaneous appearances of awareness that are naturally reflecting everything without any editorial comment. And so when we see them do things, sometimes we say, oh, they're mad. But that's just us projecting our ideas on them. They're just spontaneously relating to everything that's appearing. And so you see, they're great teachers for us. We're just like that too. Yeah. Identify as awareness. And in identifying as awareness, confidence will be gained in that. And by gaining confidence in that, it is guaranteed that it will become continuous. This is straight talk about what's real, with no gibberish. We're too old for gibberish, huh? Yeah. We've had enough gibberish. Now, in gaining confidence in awareness, there's an easy way to do it where it can come about swiftly and surely, and then there's a tough way to do it where it will come about slowly and painfully. The tough way to do it, I'll tell you about that one first, okay? Aren't you dying to hear? The tough way is to isolate and try to do it on your own. That's the tough way to do it. The easy, swift, and sure way is to rely on all the friendly help that's available. And the friendly help that's available now all over the world is in the Great Freedom Teaching, the teachings themselves, and the teachers, and in the Great Freedom Community. So this is a big help, because everyone in this community will support you in maintaining confidence and awareness. They're not going to give you a bunch of other ideas about how to handle what's going on. They're not going to say, oh, apply this antidote or that antidote or whatever it is. They're going to give you the straight scoop. So that's the easy way. We know all about this. It really is the easy way. And it's not anything that is outside the scope of ordinary activity. When we train ourselves to identify with the story and think that's who we are, then we hang out with other people who are telling the same stories. And then we say, oh yeah, it is that way. You know, it really is that way. our stories match. That's what reality is. It really is that way. But see this crystal ball? Whatever it's placed on, that's what it reflects. So if awareness is placed on a bunch of stories and other people who are living in their stories, that's what it reflects. But if the awareness is held up to the sunlight, you know, to pure space, then there's nothing there. And so too with the friends we surround ourselves with. If we surround ourselves with people addicted to their stories, then it's going to be hard to maintain confidence and awareness, because they're going to want us to be talking about our stories too. They're not going to just want us to sit there and look at them. They want to hear some stories, damn it. They want to hear some stories, and they want to hear them now. They want somebody to commiserate with about the stories. I'm right, huh? I know, because I've been through all this. Cause now, when I began gaining confidence and awareness, I saw this right away. I saw, wow, you know, people really like their stories, and so do I. but I decided that my stories had made me sick and tired and morose, totally depressed, and made me kind of feel like I wanted to check out. They weren't really giving me any good stuff. So on the basis of that, I became willing to gain confidence and awareness. Because even in one moment of resting as awareness, I got much more satisfaction and pleasure than in one moment of a story. So I could see this, I could compare the two. One moment of rest, I had the association of pleasure with the resting. One moment of a story, that just led to more painful story. So very straightforward, kind of like Pavlov's dog. And we're very simple. All we are is the spontaneous presence of awareness like any other animal. But unlike other animals, we can decide that we are something other than what we are. And so we can say, oh yeah, I am my stories. I am the place where I live. I am the way I look. I am my mother and father's child, and all these other things. To other animals, none of this commentary ever occurs. To be natural is to be a simple animal. A simple animal acts like nature does. Nature has no comment on everything. It just goes its natural way. And this is true for us too. When we just relax without all the commentary on everything, then we find a whole new world that's a secret world that we've been keeping hidden from ourselves. It's always been present, but we've kept it a secret from ourselves due to our inability to relax. You're retired. You're supposed to be relaxing, right?
Supposed to be.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. The natural way of living. Natural ease without any contrivance. Nothing needs to be changed. All appearances are left unrejected. In that, first of all, you can't deny that it's beneficial, because immediately you're no longer troubled by your stories. So, you know, you don't have to make it up to say that it's beneficial. It's clearly beneficial. It feels good. That's beneficial. And then, too, it is ongoingly beneficial, so it never stops being beneficial. First, it's just beneficial to us, and then by seeing how much benefit it is to us, we see how much benefit it can be to other people, and then we just want to naturally share that with them. Say, wow, you know, I used to be hanging out in all my stories, and then I realized that it was like going to a bad neighborhood in the middle of the night on my own. Now no one would want to do that. No one would want to go to some areas of the city alone at night. You wouldn't do that. And wandering into the stories is the same kind of thing. Stay with what's real rather than the phantasmagoria of storyland. There's no I to get rid of, so that's not a problem. That is a non-existent problem. It isn't an issue at all. There's never been a personal identity or I character to get rid of. An ego, all these are just ideas. Ego, pure space. I, pure space. If you believe it's there, then it will be. Right?
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that there's an ego and it's a storehouse of, or a hard drive of all these points of view, then there will be. That'll be the story about that. However, if you keep it simple and just say, well, all I am is awareness, no matter what I've thought before this moment, and the idea of I and every other idea I have is just an appearance of awareness. That's all I am. That's my identity. And that's how I'm going to look at myself. If you say I, that is awareness. If you say somebody else, that is awareness. Both points of view, I, somebody else. Both points of view and awareness. Both totally equal. Don't complicate it unnecessarily. And every other thought that's had, every emotion that's had, every sensation that's had, every experience that's had, every person, every place, everything, all an appearance of awareness. So where can you go? Astray. There's nowhere to go astray. Everything is just a self-appearance of awareness. There's nothing to freak out about. And there's nothing to cling to either. If you try to cling to pure space, there's nothing there. If you freak out at pure space, there's nothing there. And not only that, there's no one to freak out. So all of these apprehensions and prehensions of everything that's going on, they're just stories. It's the persistence of description, needing to describe everything in some way to make sense out of it. Just go your merry way like a carefree lunatic. Just because everybody else is bothered by their stories doesn't mean you have to be. Your stories are just your stories. They're the circumstantial reflections in awareness. And, you know, when you have a thought about the past, when is that happening? Are you time traveling back to another point? Or is awareness timeless? When you think about the past, it's the spontaneous here and now. And that thought, that memory about the past, it's going to release, it's going to free itself as the spontaneous self-release, the spontaneous self-freeing of the here and now. You've never gone anywhere to the past. There isn't a past that you need to relate to. And there isn't a future either. Past, present, and future also are points of view appearing in awareness. That's all they are. to say, oh, yeah, there really was a past and I was living there and this, that, and the other thing. Everything appears in the same way that a dream does. When we go to sleep at night and we have a dream, wow, all kinds of things can happen. We're in there, we're having all kinds of feelings, we're seeing all kinds of things, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, all of this, but we're sound asleep in our bed. All that's present there is that's all that's present during waking awareness. There aren't dream eyes seeing and dream tongues tasting and dream ears hearing and all of these things. We're sound asleep in our own bed. Just like awareness is naturally present in a waking state, it's naturally present in sleep too and in dreams. So go your merry way and don't follow the misguided advice of others who are hanging out in their stories. Do it the easy way. You're not a friend to anyone by sharing your stories. That's not friendship. That's maintaining your own pain and maintaining the painful states of others by indulging the stories. That's not friendship. If you're worried about how to get out of telling stories, zip the lip. That's how we get out of telling stories. When we zip the lip on telling the stories, then it's much easier to see inside what's going on. Then pretty soon all the stories subside inside too, in the thinking. If we're out there cranking out the stories with our speech, we never give ourselves an opportunity to just rest and allow our speech to talk about what's true. When other people are blabbing, it doesn't mean we have to blab too. I listen to all kinds of things, believe me. I live in this small town. There are all kinds of points of view in this town. And not only that, I travel all over the world and there are all kinds of points of view all over the world. But if I got into the story of everybody who talked to me, I'd really be busy. I'd be standing around telling stories just like they are. But most of the time I just listen. Yeah. Listen to everybody likes to comment on the weather. Everybody has stories about the weather. But how important are stories about the weather? Let's go for that. Yeah. I like to listen to their magical stories about the weather. I don't have much to say about it. Now, when I was first resting as awareness, well, after about 8 months, my parents had their 35th wedding anniversary. And I'm one of 6 children, and so there was a big party for my parents in Colorado up in the mountains. And we all planned this party, and we all went there and with our significant others, if we had one, and our children, if we had those, and other assorted friends and family members. And now that's really a good place to test resting as awareness, with your family of origin all gathered together on a special occasion. And you know, there were points of view flying everywhere. And I found out there I could either go into the stories and play all the roles that were expected or not. You know, so this is the choice we have. So our most important choice as a human being, are we going to go into the whole game of the way everybody else is doing it, or are we going to enjoy our life? This is the easy way. By gaining confidence and awareness, you reach a point where you can just casually engage in these stories without needing to have them be the basis of your life. You can talk about the weather, share someone else's pain with them, their perception of suffering, but there's never any coming together or parting from awareness. This never occurs. The coming together and the parting from never occur. This kind of sequence or process of events never occur in awareness. And this cannot be caught by thought. It can't be caught by thought. It can only be captured in actually maintaining the presence of awareness, no matter what appears. Be happy. Be happy. When sadness appears, leave it unrejected. Who'd have thunk it? From within sadness appears happiness. They're not two. From within pain appears pleasure, not two.